Well, good morning, CDK. Good to have you here as we share together in worship. Let's give a quick shout out to Room in the Inn. All those serving there last night, there were 12 folks that weren't out in the cold because you guys make a difference. Thank you for the difference you make. There's all kind of surprises that happen in the midst of ministries and things that go on. You know, God is a God of surprises. Anybody with me? He's a God of surprises. And it's not just in the scriptures, although if you read the scriptures I shared with you last week and you read them from the context of, I want to look at the surprises, you'll see them all over the place. God loves to show up and he loves to surprise you in ways that you're not anticipating, to show up in ways that let you know that he's got you and his plan is unfolding right before your eyes, even though sometimes we may be blind to see it. And one of the fun things is that God is filled with surprise guests that will visit you as well. What I want to encourage you this Christmas and actually every day, live each day with an anticipation of a surprise guest that God wants to put in your life. It might be somebody he's putting in your life for a reason for your sake. It might be someone he's putting in your life for their sake. But God's always putting people around you, no matter where you are. And it might be he's putting a word that he wants to give to you through someone else. Surprise, not a surprise to God. You might be going, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. You know, I was feeling kind of down and that person gave me courage. That's not a surprise to God. Surprise, guess, God has you. And these kind of things happen all the time. And in the midst of the Christmas season, we see them so significantly showing up. Today, I want to look at a passage in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And in this passage, we see some surprise guests, and actually, there are two of them in this case. One is the angels who come to the shepherds in the field, and the other one is these same shepherds in the field take a journey and surprise Mary and Joseph with a visit in the middle of the night. Now, as we've talked about, with each of these surprise guests, whether it be in your life today or back in the scriptures time, they come with gifts. They always come bearing some sort of gift, either for you or you for them. It always happens. And the same is true with these surprise guests today. They bring some gifts, and those three gifts are these. And we're going to kind of unpack these a little bit because they're really significant for our lives. One is the gift of peace. The other is the gift of value. And the third is the gift of worship. Now, let's think about this text as we roll into it here. In this ancient place, these shepherd fields, and this is actually the entrance of it. You can see in this first picture. Go back one picture. It's the picture with the arch. There you go, that one right there. That picture is actually what it looks like today. That is the shepherd's field where the angels came in Bethlehem. Bethlehem looks a lot different today than it did 2,000 years ago. It was a really, really, really tiny village. Now it's quite a large town. And this is the entrance to the area that is restored or kind of held for tourists to come. And they put this area, you can see the shepherd's field. And you go in and you can look off to the left, the field area where the angels would have come. And you see the area just over where they built a little chapel commemorating these shepherds. And just down the street is the Church of the Nativity that now is over the ancient cave where Mary and Joseph, or Mary would have given birth to Jesus, and they would have gathered that night. So it's all in that same kind of area. So here you have these angels that come, and you can take a look at this next picture. You can see the angels that come, and we'll just hold that picture for a moment for you to kind of gaze at. That picture's actually a mural in the chapel that's located right there in the shepherd's fields. It's one of the images showing the movement of the shepherds. As you're looking at that picture, just think for a moment. You know, many times we can think about these angel visits, and we kind of look at them as a little bit of a sissy way. You know, we've kind of sissified angels in our storybooks, haven't we? They look really pretty and meek and mild. But, you know, you don't see that in scriptures. You know, angels are powerful beings. You get more of the context of, like, when Joshua meets the angel going into the promised land and he's thrown to the ground. Literally, he's in a place of worship because he sees the commander of angels' armies. These angels that would have come would have been powerful beings. They would have been gathered around them in ranks, myriads of them. They were not You could not count them. Only one speaks. So God typically has one to speak, that Gabriel would come to Zechariah and Gabriel come to Mary and to Joseph and is speaking here as well. But they would have been, it says, surrounded by them. Just take a look at that picture as I read to you the text in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. You wouldn't be terrified with the angels we see in books today, but these? Whoa! You know, there's only two recorded times in Scripture that the myriad of angels actually gathered to make an announcement or to do something forceful. So clearly, this is a very important moment that God is making on the face of the earth, that the myriads of angels would be showing up all at one time. The angel, the one speaking, reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. It's almost like an exclamation point. The Savior, this one you've been longing for all these years. Yes, the Messiah, exclamation point, is coming. The Lord, he has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, the scriptures read, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, listen carefully, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Now just grab hold of that for a moment. Just grab hold of that for a moment. Here they are, these shepherds out in the field, minding their own business. They've been doing this probably for generations. The children grow up and they're shepherds. And their children grow up and they're shepherds. And that's what they've known. And they've continued this on for a long time. And here they're out in the field. This area around Bethlehem is a very arid kind of area. The rock is very near the surface of the lands. So as they would be grazing the sheep, they would have been moving around in this area and trying to find where the good grasses were. It's a very hilly, rocky area, which lended itself to many caves in the area where they could find shelter and they could shelter the sheep. But here they're out there. There's no light pollution. There's a little teeny town that is positioned right beside them called Bethlehem. Now, the town was not changed in its buildings, but this was a time, you may remember, that there was a census going on. So everybody was having to go back to their hometown. So anybody that originated in whatever century from the little town of Bethlehem had to go back to that location to be counted for the Roman tax, okay? So here they are all back in that area. So the village, the people in the village would have swelled. The places to stay in the buildings did not, okay? All this is going on, and out in this countryside, this happens in the middle of the night. You have to think about for a moment, why here? I mean, if God was going to have such a significant announcement, which we'll talk about in a moment, why would he do it to these shepherds? I mean, they weren't exactly the most thought of in society. They weren't the most respected. They're just out there tending sheep. Why didn't he do it in Jerusalem? Jerusalem's only 20 miles up the road. You know, if you imagine the heaven's armies, the myriad of angels, positioning himself over the temple in Jerusalem. You're talking about something fantastic. Have you ever seen pictures of the temple in Jerusalem? Whoa, that would have woken some people up. And now that town would have also have swelled, and there would have been maybe a million people in Jerusalem, and God could accomplish all of this at one moment. But just shepherds. I think it's really cool how God works, at least for now, that God loves to show up rather than making a grand entrance in a place like Jerusalem to all the highest and pious, so to speak, of in society, whatever you might think of yourself, he comes to just a few open, willing hearts. That he plants the seed of his word, and the seed of his word and his promise then gets announced. It's kind of like when Jesus later says, when the sower's casting seed and it lands on fertile ground, it takes root and it grows 100-fold, which is far more than anyone could think or imagine. Or when he says that the kingdom of heaven is like this mustard seed that's the teeniest of all seeds, but when it's planted, it grows into this grand plant. That's how God has done it throughout the scriptures. The only question we might ask at Christmas, are we next? Are we in this place, maybe like the shepherds, humbled enough, or like Mary, willing enough to say, let it be to me? God already knows. That's how he seems to be working until he comes again in the second coming. He won't do it that way, according to Scripture. It will be a grand entrance, and everybody will know when Jesus comes again the second time. Everybody on the face of the earth will know just like that, and we'll be going, whoa. But for now, he's chosen the humble and the open and the willing and the faithful, plant a seed of promise that would spread like wildfire over the face of the earth as it did with those shepherds. And here we are. And here we are. And out of that announcement comes this amazing gift, the gift of peace. Let that settle for a moment. We way underestimate this gift. Yes, we do. Why is that the one gift that is announced to the Savior of the world? We pray for lots of things, don't we? I mean, if we were to list out our praise and our prayers and list all the things we're asking God for, where is peace in those prayers? I think it's something we have to ask ourselves, because the only announcement the angels came and gave, the one gift they said was peace to the earth. Making peace is the most important thing any of us can do. Having peace in our hearts is the greatest gift that any of us can have. Maybe you've been in a time when you have not been at peace. It didn't matter what you had. It didn't matter what house you lived in, what car you drove, what job you had. You were miserable. Because I know what it is not to have peace. And nothing else in life is settled. When you don't have peace in your family, it's incredibly frustrating, isn't it? And you say, man, if we could just have peace. If you don't have peace in your community, we hide ourselves away in fear. If you don't have peace in a country, nothing can prosper. We know that. We do a ministry at this church to Burundi, Africa. It's the poorest country in the world. And the church there is growing radically with Pastor Eric and the work that's going on. But why is it the poorest country in the world? Because it's the most war-torn country. Every election, the three tribes fight, mainly two tribes fight, and they basically annihilate the people on the other side. So there's a constant turnaround. There's a constant unrest and a constant lack of peace. And who loses? The people. When 85% to 90% of your economy is foreign aid, you have nothing happening in your country because you tore it all up in your unpeace. That's not rocket science. It's natural facts. We see the issues. And the angels announce the Prince of Peace is coming into the world to make peace. We need it so desperately. When it's not in your heart or mind, we need it desperately. When my heart is at peace, it reflects on everything that I do. It affects the decisions I make. It affects the relationships I have around me. It affects how I see my circumstances, no matter what the circumstance. You know what I'm talking about, right? When my heart is at peace. But when my heart isn't at peace, the same is true. It affects everything. But when the presence of Jesus is in my heart, it rests in peace. What about you? You see, it's interesting. In the New Testament, when Jesus came back after the resurrection, and he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, they were afraid what was going to happen to them next. You know, they could all be executed. Jesus shows up in the upper room where they were, and the very first words he says to them is this: peace be with you. Why? The next week, when Thomas was not there, and he was living in this doubt and this unpeace and this frustration, and he says, I'm not going to believe anything unless I see him. He's in the room when Jesus comes back, and the very first words that Jesus says to Thomas, when Thomas is doubting, is peace be with you. If you translate that Greek word of peace, it literally means my presence is with you. When your heart and my heart is filled and dominated by the presence of Jesus, we will have peace. When our communities are filled with the presence of Jesus, we will have peace. When our families are filled with the presence of Jesus, we'll be at peace. You got some study notes for this week. You'll be having Christmas together. And I would encourage you to pull those study notes out when you're gathered with your family. And it says, Pastor Craig said we need to go through these, if you need an excuse, because some of you are afraid to pull out your Christian stuff with your families. But you can say, well, they told us we had to do it. Because you know that you know that you know that unless Jesus fills the family with peace, there will not be peace. Now, understand what the heavenly armies of heaven were doing, these angelic armies, was making a move. You see, Jesus didn't say in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacekeepers. What did he say? Blessed are the peacemakers. It's very different. It's very different to make peace. To make peace is face to face and heart to heart, isn't it? I can keep peace by sweeping it under the carpet or staying away or not doing that. I'm just going to keep the peace. We all know what that means. But to make peace, that's face to face and heart for heart. What the angels are saying is the God that sits on the throne of the heavens, the most powerful being that created all the world, is going to come face to face, heart to heart with you and make peace. That's Christmas. And it would cost him everything. Cost him. Colossians reads this: through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. What God was saying, that I know sin has separated and sin has broken, but I'm going to open that door of reconciliation, because the most important thing that you can have is to be at peace. Receive it. Now, as Christians, if you've asked the Lord in your life, you're a Christian. And what that means is every day of your life, you are asking God to take center stage. there's many times of the day that I go along and I realize God's not in the center and my heart is getting restless. It's a pretty good sign that you're beginning to worship something different. And you need a reframe. And we come to worship. And one of the reasons we come to worship is to come back together in the community and get a reframe. To, wait a minute, I'm running like crazy and this is dominating my life. And I'm getting little bits of peace that I can create. But it's not sustainable. I need to get Jesus back in the center place, right? I need to have him in that spot. In the South, he might say, I found Jesus. Or Jesus, it might go. But Jesus found you. He made the move. And when he makes the move in your life and the move in your family and the move in your coworkers, you may have seen it. They show up the next day and they're different. And you wonder, why are they different? Because there's a peace in their heart. They finally gave their life to Jesus Christ because he brings peace. He's the only one. It happens no other place, no other way. Now, we can make peace. And believe me, as the church, what we see in our mission, we are called to make peace. We're to be like Jesus. We're not him. We can only do it imperfectly, but we got to get out there. It's the most important thing we do. If I'm going to make peace with a coworker who's frustrated with me, it means that I've got to go to them as face-to-face and heart-for-heart, and we got to talk it out. It doesn't mean that they'll receive my peace, but I go to make peace. If I want to make peace with my family, I'm not sitting there sweeping under the rug. I am going to open the door and make peace. I'm going to have the cost, okay? It costs me something. I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to have to hear what I don't want to hear, and I've got to have the conversation because I'm going to make peace. They may not receive it as they didn't receive Jesus' peace in some cases. Making peace is not easy, but it's godly. And God first made it with you and with me. Now let's step a little bit further. You see, there's another peace that the angels gave here. They said, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. He's bringing peace to those whom God is pleased. Have you read that passage and just skipped over that part? Is peace not coming to everyone? Because the Bible says, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Other versions read, to those whom God favors. There's silence now in the room. What is that about? Do I ask the question, and am I pleasing to God? Often when we ask the question, we're thinking about the things that we have done. And I know that we sit in this room today and everyone who could answer to the question says, you know, I'm not very pleasing to God. I have a sin-stained life and I've done some things that I know does not please God. I know them immediately when I do them, when I think or what I say or what I do. And the Holy Spirit catches me in that moment, and you feel a moment of shame or guilt. God, that wasn't pleasing to you. And you also know by your alignment with the Scriptures, when you know the things that you could literally say, God, I want to please you, and this pleases you. We know those things. Because if you're following Jesus, the Holy Spirit's showing you as you go along. But what does he mean in the text? Is there only peace to those whom God has pleased? What does he mean? It's easy to get this out of context. We have to look at the whole of Scripture. So let's just compare it for a moment with the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and the verse that many people know, maybe the most popular in all of Scripture, John 3:16, when it says, God so loved who? The world, that he did what? He gave his only Son. So we know there can't be some select group that gets peace, because God loves the whole world, and he gave his son, like we spoke about in Colossians, to everyone. So where do you and I fit in to the midst of that? What does that mean? And what it means is this, and it leads to that next piece of the gift, and that's the depth of our value. Is God looks at you and me as his creation. He formed you out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed his own breath into you. And for you, who he created in his own image, he is pleased. And when the angels make this announcement to the world, literally what the world should hear is that the angels are crying out. Angel Aaron says, God is pleased with humankind. He made humanity, and he loves you. You are his children. Now, is he pleased with everything his children do? In the same way that I haven't either. And they probably haven't been pleased with everything I've done. So we get to hear in John chapter 1. But to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That there is a place by which God is pleased when we take that leap of faith and we say, God, you are the only Prince of Peace, and I want you to reside in my heart. And the fulfillment of the angel's announcement becomes reality in your life and in my life. And we get to take that then to the world. So what about the value thing? In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. To these lowly shepherds, God makes an announcement of the value of humankind. That our value that we often look at in the world, sadly, is if you want to improve your value, improve what you look like, improve your significance in the community, improve your appearance, improve your workplace, whatever. That's how the society measures how valuable you are. But that is not how God values you. This is a gift that God gives to the world. And this is a gift the church of Jesus Christ, you and me, give to the world. God made everyone different. God made us of all abilities and aspects and talents. And the beauty of that mixed together in this thing we called humankind as to see one another and brings out the best in one another as we serve the different talents and abilities, those that have different aspects and don't have different aspects. Together we become this gift of humanity that God gives. Every single person, every neighbor in the world is in that place. And the gift we give is that. Imagine if our outreach to the world was this. The value on your life is not the position of your life, but the creation of your life by God. Do you think we would have more people thinking about God? Because everyone is longing for value in the wrong place. And it leads to a heart not at peace. We get to give this gift of peace and value because God has given it to you and to me. As we move this Christmas and on, may that be the place. Paul writes it in Romans chapter 2 when he says, for God shows no partiality. God has created everyone, male and female, in his own image. He's speaking this in the midst of a world of Roman Empire that was very partial. And he says to God, this is not the case. And it took the world by storm. And the church of Jesus Christ grew radically in the book of Acts because this message was heard. You think it still needs to be heard today? Oh, yeah. It's an easy message for you and me to take out of these seats today and fill up the place of Jesus Christ because people have a new peace in their heart.
Because I guarantee you, the majority of the people you'll meet on Monday won't have their value coming from God. And therefore will be not at peace. So let's look a little further at the last visit, the surprise visit. Here we have a visit of the shepherds, and they're excited. Take a look at this picture, and what you see is this young fella over on my left. He's kind of jumping for joy, isn't he? It's kind of the image in that same chapel that after the angels left, you begin to hear these words. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Hear the faith in that? Hear this thing that has happened. Have they seen it yet? No. It's like we talked about last week. We are in this place of faithfulness before testimony. That's the place they were. They're saying, let us go see this thing that has happened. They don't have proof. They only have the word of the angel in the same way that we live in the promises of God. And it says they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was a baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. It says that she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. No surprise there. Their lives were changed. They showed up the next day for work in a much different spirit because they now had peace. And they understood their value. That will happen in your family, in your life, in your community also. When we understand that Jesus is the only peace, and we understand the depth of our value comes from God, it changes us. And I think the way that it changes us the most is that we become worshipers. And that's the third gift. What the shepherds brought Mary and Joseph was the first worship. Think about it. Look at this picture. It's another one in the chapel. I just want you to dwell on that for a moment. What would it have been like to walk in there and see the Christ child? What would it have been like for Mary and Joseph, who had had the visit of the angel in this long journey to Bethlehem, and now they'd given birth this night, and they weren't confused, but what does it all mean? And then in walks the shepherds, and their knees buckle before them, and right there with the baby, they begin to worship. Shepherds, humbly, the first human worshipers of Jesus on the face of the earth. Can we be like them? How did that happen? Because peace reigned in their heart. And value was first now understood. And he saw Jesus for who he really is. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. Can imagine as Mary stood at the base of the cross when this same baby would be stretched out by human beings and crucified. The blood of peace flowing. Tears rolling down her eye. I think she probably remembered the first worshipers that she was pondering. This is God. And it held her, and it will hold you And when you express that kind of worship through your life, it will draw other knees to fold as well. God loves you. May His peace reign in you. Let's pray. God, You are an amazing God. Your love for us is so pure. You are pleased with us, not for what we have done, but for how, for who we are, Your creation. We're in a world that has a hard time grabbing hold of that. Father, I pray today, if there's anyone in this room that has doubted that up to this moment, that their hearts would be open and they'd receive You, Your presence, and have peace reign. God, we love You. Thank You for showing us again and again the promise for all eternity that is You. In Jesus, we pray.